From sickness to health. Matter is non-intelligent, even if it were real, which it is not. Matter, so-called, possesses neither consciousness nor the power of motion. It cannot plan its own states. It cannot rearrange itself, whether in the mass or in molecular relations. Matter, so-called, is a belief or shadow of substance, which mortal mind images forth as a medium in which and through which mortal mind can depict its operations. Therefore, all states and conditions of matter, whether of the mortal body or other manifestations of matter, are determined by mortal mind, unless, through the operation of scientific Christianity, mortal mind has been brought under control by the conscious application of divine mind, in which case the body is, in a sense, controlled by divine mind, and continues to be more and more until such time as the belief of matter is completely dispelled. It is well to understand what some phases of the mortal belief are, and certain claims of mortal mind are herewith set forth. If a person entertains in his consciousness, in an habitual way, anger, anxiety, grief, malice, covetousness, discontent, lust, envy, self-condemnation, or any inharmonious mental state, or any mental state that is unlike the divine mind, that mental condition is almost sure, sooner or later, to be pictured forth in some inharmonious condition of the body, named disease, whether organic or inorganic, so-called. Any of these inharmonious or ungodlike mental states, if habitual, gradually result in impeded and irregular action of one or more of the bodily organs, resulting in the development of poisons in the system and in malnutrition and the imperfect assimilation of food. These conditions tend to increase, and almost any kind of a disease may result. Almost any up-to-date physician would agree that this is so. A gentleman of the author's acquaintance went into the office of an expert blood analyst and had a drop of blood drawn from his wrist, he being at the time in an ordinary, contented frame of mind. Microscopic and other analysis of the drop showed the blood to be pure. Then the gentleman purposely thought about a matter concerning which it was easy for him to become angry. After 20 minutes of this, he had a drop of blood drawn, and the analysis showed the presence of both pus and bile. This fact ought to make it evident how disease often starts. The foregoing is a statement and illustration of the workings of mortal mind, error, and represents a condition of affairs to be overcome. And the mortal mind cause, so-called, has to be overcome before the mortal mind effect, so-called, can be overcome. Another way of saying, which is, that the sin must be overcome before the disease resulting from it can be overcome. The inharmonious and ungodlike mental conditions must be corrected, and harmonious and godlike mental conditions must be established in their places before the disease can be healed. Sometimes the realization of the practitioner or of the patient himself when he is reading the Bible or Christian Science literature with the true understanding, may be so clear and absolute as to overcome both the sin and the disease in a few moments, or in a single treatment. In that case, the mortal mind cause, so-called, and mortal mind effect, so-called, are both overcome as part of one and the same act. However, where the healing is not immediate, it is worthwhile to gain it by faithful and continued work. Under such a program, the chief effort of the patient and practitioner should be to overcome the inharmonious mental habits, being sure that, as soon as they are overcome, or very soon after, the disease will disappear. Some of the following suggestions will apply to one person and some to another. Each will doubtless be able to pick out what applies to himself or herself. Are you tempted to be frequently angry at your fellow men, or at yourself, or at animals and things which are around you? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Are you tempted to entertain and dwell upon lustful thoughts? Remember that the lusts of the flesh are not ordained of God and are not known to God. They have no part in the divine mind. They do not belong to the true man, which is your true selfhood, and which it is your business to demonstrate. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Entertain no thought or desire which your heavenly Father does not entertain. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted, tried of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth disease and death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and not from the earth or from the flesh, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, not by any fleshly process, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Are you tempted to continued grief over the loss of some cherished possession, or over the so-called death of some loved one? Know that God has made all that really is, and nothing which he has made can be destroyed. Know that no real good is, in truth, separated from you for an instant. And know that it is not in the power of error to keep you very long from realizing this fact. All that seems lost to you will soon be restored to you with a more perfect and satisfying possession or understanding thereof. And the sooner, in proportion as you know this to be true, and have confidence in the imperishability of that which is good. Nothing is lost in truth, nor is the realization thereof lost very long to those who know this fact. I would that you sorrow not as those who know not the gospel. God does not grieve over anything. He has no occasion to. In truth, you are His image and likeness, and you have no occasion for grief if you do not allow yourself to be deceived by appearances, but on the contrary, hang on to your scientific knowledge of things as they are. The world thinks that it is a virtue to grieve under certain conditions, and that it would be unnatural in an opprobrious sense not to do so. But do not be deceived by the world's judgment. There is no virtue in grief. The Christian who really believes his faith has little occasion for grief. Put it out of mind as not belonging to your high calling in Christ Jesus, if you would be holy, happy, and well. Are you tempted to be anxious about anything? Are you given to worry and fretting? No person ever bettered his condition in the least by entertaining any such sentiments. But many have done themselves, in appearance, incalculable harm by cherishing anxiety and worry. Do your duty by God, by your fellow men, and by yourself, hour by hour and day by day, as well as you know how, and let it rest at that. Why are ye anxious for the morrow? What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do the best thing you can discover at all times. Having done that, be careful, full of care, for nothing. As someone once said, if you can do anything about it, why don't you? And if you can't, what is the use of worrying about it? But if you believe God, you have no occasion to worry. If you really believe and trust Him, your needs will be met day by day, whether you can see the way in advance or not. Are you doubtful or discouraged because you are not healed quicker? That is the devil's device to keep you in an inharmonious state of mind, so that, in belief, your food will not assimilate, your bodily organs will not act properly, and poisons will continue to be secreted in your system. Do not be caught by this snare of the devil. Know that God made man, that all God's works are perfect, that health and harmony are eternal laws of God and are present facts. Resting in this assurance, be hopeful, cheerful, patient, and persistent. Maintain the joy of the Lord. Rule out all inharmonious and ungodlike emotions and sentiments. Keep them out by relying on God and by meditating on His law. If you do this persistently, the mortal mind, so-called causes of your trouble, will be removed. Your food will assimilate better. Malnutrition will gradually cease. Poisons will cease to be formed. The poisons already in your system, in belief, will be gradually eliminated. New and healthy tissues will be built up. It often takes time to accomplish this, but what of it? You entertained wrong mental states for weeks and months before the resulting disease developed. Is it any wonder that you should be required to entertain right and godlike habits of thought for weeks before the disease disappears? And do you not see that if you allow yourself to vacillate between hope and fear, between confidence and doubt, between trust in God and anxiety, and do not trust God with your whole heart, you are delaying your healing just so much? It is practically certain that if you maintain a confident, hopeful, cheerful frame of mind without interruption for a number of weeks consecutively, beneficial physical results will be in evidence. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The summation of the matter is, if you want to be well, believe in God and the all-power and all-presence of good, in the essential nothingness and impermanency of evil in its every manifestation. Cultivate and maintain godlike qualities of mind. Cast out and refuse to entertain all ungodlike qualities of mind, however much excuse there may seem to be for entertaining them. Keep your confidence in God, and keep on doing it. And meanwhile, place your sole reliance for healing upon spirit, and withdraw your reliance absolutely from matter, whether in the form of drugs or in any other form, thus honoring the Lord your God with your whole trust and with your whole reliance. Follow this program faithfully and without cessation, and your reward is sure. And it will come in such time as is really for your best good. To carry out this program, do not hesitate at any amount of effort, nor at any reasonable expense, nor at any sacrifice of worldly plans and pleasures. For that which you will attain as the result of this program will be the salvation of your soul, the being made whole and godlike in your consciousness. Your particular disease may be one which was not caused in the beginning by any inharmonious mental state which you were cherishing, but may have been caused by an accident, by being poisoned in some way, by the mortal belief of contagion, by the mortal belief of having taken germs into your system through drinking water or food or otherwise, or by any one of a variety of so-called causes of disease extraneous to your thought. Even if this be the case, yet you probably have been through a long period of fear, anxiety, doubt, and discouragement incident to the disease and to complications in your affairs which your diseased condition may have resulted in. Hence, very likely, there has developed in your system, in belief, more or less of the inactive and poisonous conditions which result from fear, anxiety, and discouragement. And in this way, the original disease has been aggravated and perpetuated in your consciousness and in the bodily manifestation. Hence, to heal the disease requires the overcoming and casting out of fear, anxiety, doubt, and discouragement, almost or quite as much as though the disease had been caused originally by some untoward mental condition. Little or nothing may stand in the way of your healing, except the inharmonious and ungodlike mental conditions which you are cherishing, whether your disease originated in such conditions or not. If the disease did not originate in improper mental emotions, which you were cherishing, then the disease came on without sin on your own part, and it ought to be easily overcome if you have not allowed sin, ungodlike mental emotions, to creep in and occupy your consciousness because of the disease. As said before, you should right about face. Place your hope, your trust, your confidence in God, and keep on doing so without vacillation. Then the disease will commence to yield and be completely overcome, whatever its original cause, so-called, may have been. The whole universe is ruled absolutely by God, love, unadulterated good. If you actually believe this, you have nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be discouraged about. It is only the cherishing of fear, anxiety, doubt, and discouragement which can long cloud over from your realization the health, harmony, strength, and abundance which God has provided from the foundation of the world, and which are already yours, and which are constantly closer to you than the air you breathe, and from which, in reality, you can never get away. Therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't grieve. Don't be discouraged. You cannot afford to. Hope and trust in God, and keep at it through thick and thin of the clouds of mortal error, and they will soon vanish entirely. All the good law and all the good order which the state or church enjoys today may be traced back over some route to the words and deeds of men who rebelled against the kind of law and the kind of order that they found administered by its constituted guardians. To men who dared to appeal from the keepers of divine truth to divine truth itself. From the trustees of God to God Himself. Selected.